I want you to look with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Acts, chapter number 4. Brother Randy got me to thinking about the Apostle Peter and his teaching the other week. And I really got to thinking about the early apostles, the people that evolved from them and blazed the pathways on down through time. And I appreciate people that really go for God and give their lives to the cause of Christ. And where would we be without them? You know, it's a great sacrifice in the lives of people that really sell out to God. But I want us to look at some things right here. Acts chapter number 4. Now, I guess just to give you a little background on what's going on, the day of Pentecost has come. The Spirit of God is poured out upon the disciples. And Peter preaches a message. And then they go into the temple and where they're going to have prayer. And a lame man was laying there at the temple. And he was begging alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him, lifted him up, a man that was lame from his birth, and he began leaping and praising God, and he went into the temple with him. People all rushed together to see this great miracle that had taken place. Peter saw an opportunity to preach his second message, and he began to preach again. And it stirred up those that opposed Christ, the chief priest, and the Pharisees and all that hated Christ. They didn't like it. And they took Peter and John and sort of into captivity there and began to question them. And Peter began to witness to them. And verse number 10 of chapter number 4 says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, that this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now here's verse number 13, where I get my thought from tonight. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." Notice two things. They saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they saw Jesus in Peter and John. They took notice that they'd been with Jesus. And they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, the Bible says right here. I wonder, what does the world see in you and me? As we go out and we mix and mingle in the world and we run into different people, and I wonder what they see in us. I wonder if we got enough God in us that they can recognize that we're Christians. I wonder if I demonstrate Christ in the way that I act, the way that I talk. And, you know, it's something to think about right here. I wonder, you know, we got things in common with these early disciples, I believe. And I want to look at a few things tonight that I believe we got in common and we should have in common with them. Now, you know, they took notice, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. When I'm talking about things we have in common with them, I might fall into that category, ignorant and unlearned. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a theologian. I mean, you don't have to have a degree to be a light for Christ. You know, a person that gets saved, when Christ touched old Legion and cast the demons out of Legion, you know, Legion wanted to follow Christ, but he told him to go home and tell your friends what great things that the Lord's done for you. You know, we've all got a testimony. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we've got a testimony. We've got an experience that we can tell somebody about what God has done for us. And it's a great thing, too. But now I want us to notice some things about these apostles right here, especially Peter and John right here. Notice, turn with me in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. When Christ begins his ministry right here, the first disciples are called right here in chapter number 4 of the book of St. Matthew right here. And verse number 18. Now, I'm talking about some things that we have in common with these early disciples, these early apostles here. There was a great calling right here. A great call. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately left the ship and their father and followed them." Now, everybody that's ever been saved, I'd say you had a great calling. A great calling. Peter and John, Andrew here, they were, and James, they were minding their own business. They was going about their daily work every day, but Jesus passed by. And Jesus focused upon them. Jesus called them. Ain't you glad that when you was minding your own business out in this old world, wasn't thinking about God, didn't care about God, didn't even really care for your own soul, that Jesus come by and he began to deal with your heart and he began to call you and draw you with cords of love to a place of repentance. And not only repentance, but to a place of service. Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." Can I tell you, child of God, tonight, that should be one of our main purposes in life, to follow Christ and to be fishers of men. Ain't you glad that, hey, I don't know your experience of salvation. I do mine. I know there was an old man of God that preached the Word of God, and every time I heard him, hey, I could see compassion in him. I saw his tears. I saw how he yearned to see people saved. And you know, I knew he had something that I didn't have. And I really, deep down inside, I wanted it, but he scared me. He scared me. But it took him and his desire, and it took the Holy Ghost of God to come to me, and he preached the Word of God to me. The Holy Ghost of God imparted it into my heart and convicted me and drew me with cords of love to a place of repentance. I had a great call. A great call. Because I know where I was. I know what kind of person I was. I'd come to a place of wickedness, so wicked that I didn't think God would ever save me. But I had a great call. Jesus passed by my way first Sunday morning in March of 1974. And he called me to a place of repentance and salvation. Now these men right here began to follow Christ. I want you to notice this, not only a great call, but there was a great cost. A great cost. It's amazing to me that these disciples right here, they left everything. They left it behind. This was their livelihood. Now, I don't know much about what they, I know that people got to make a living. You know, you got to pay your rent. You got to keep the lights on and the heat on. You got to buy groceries and things. But I wonder tonight, is Jesus first in your life? Think about it. I'm afraid that in the day that we live, Christ is kind of on the back burner in our lives. We got too many things to focus on and too many cares of life that we've let take our life. Amen. They were willing to leave it all behind. They left, hey, just like I said a while ago, friends. Friends. There was a sacrifice. There's a cost. You're going to lose some friends if you follow Christ. This world's not your friend. Amen. I remember, you know, I used to spend time in the bar rooms, in the pool rooms, and different places like that. When I got saved, them folks didn't want to be my friend anymore. they just didn't care to keep my company anymore. Even the guys that I worked with that were lost. We used to go to lunch every day, and before lunch, somebody would say, "Where are we going to eat today?" And after I got saved and began to be a light, began to be a witness, I found one day I looked around and they'd done gone to lunch, left me behind. And that's the way it went from then on. You know? That's you're gonna lose some friends. Follow Christ though. You got a friend. He'll stick with you when all your other friends leave you. What a friend we have in Jesus, Brother Tim. Amen. All our sins and griefs to bear. Family. You'll find right here that they immediately followed the ship and their father. And their father and followed Jesus. He left his father, left his family. You know, God wants to be first. He has to be first in our life. He won't take second place to nobody. And so you find right here that James and John, they left their father with the ship right there, and they followed Christ. How far would we be willing to go in our cost? It'll cost you some finances even. You know, Jesus says to think not about food and raiment and things like that. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, all these things will be added unto you. Amen. We better make sure that our priorities are in place, Christians. Amen. If we're going to follow Christ, He's got to be first and foremost in our life. And I could tell you things in my life that His Word is true. Seek Him first and His kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, He's going to take care of His children. King David said, I was once young and I'm now old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken of his seed begging bread. God will take care of you. And we have opportunities to take care of each other. If we see a brother or sister in need, what are we supposed to do? Help them, ain't we? Help them. God uses me. God uses you to help others around. God blesses you. God blesses me for the things that we do for others. And God, God wants us to be that kind of a person that cares. And it'll cost you some things. It'll cost you some things. But there's a great reward in being faithful and a follower of Christ. A great call, a great cost, but a great commitment. Commitment. God is looking for committed people. People that'll forsake all and follow Him. And they left it all. And I wonder if we examined our commitment to Christ and our accomplishments for Christ, I wonder where we stand before Him. Because we will stand before Him one day and give an account. Amen. I'm glad Christ was committed. He went to the cross and died for me and for you. Paid the price. A great commitment, but there's a great commission I want you to look at tonight. In Matthew 28, notice this right here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. There's a great commission. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. You can put your name in that spot. Ye. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A great commission. They had a great commission. Jesus called this. He called these men to take up the cross and follow Him because He was going to the cross. He would die on the cross. He would be resurrected. He would ascend back to the Father. And He wanted these disciples to carry on the good news, the gospel, that people don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. And it took a great commitment, a great commission for these men right here to go forward. You see, in this great commission right here, God gave them a purpose. A purpose. Go and teach them all things that I have commanded, that I've taught, that the things that I've given to you, the gospel, the good news. And they also had their presence. His presence is with His disciples. We'll never be alone as a child of God. He indwells. God will never send you anywhere where He won't go with you. Amen. He'll never ask you to do anything that He won't make you capable of doing. God, hey, He gave these men a great commission, great promises that God has given to all His children tonight that'll follow Him. And, you know, I want you to notice this right here too. Acts chapter number one. I'm talking about the apostles right here and the things that, you know, we have in common with Peter and John, or we should have in common with them, and what the world, you know, sees in us on a daily basis. Jesus, having been raised from the dead now, about to ascend back into heaven, He told His disciples right here, He says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse number 8, this promises to every child of God right here. He said, "But you shall receive power, Holy Ghost power. It's what we need in our lives. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take a person that's committed and have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and to do God's will as we journey through this life. God said, I'll give you the power to do anything and everything that I've commanded you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What a great promise that God made to anybody that was willing to go. He said, "I'm going to give you the power to accomplish my will for your life." And He'll always fulfill His promises. He'll keep His promises. God will never let you down. If you're available, He'll give you the ability. Amen? Trouble with us, we're not available always. We get too busy, too caught up in this world. And, you know, if a job needs to be done around the church, people go sliding down behind the pew. "Don't call on me, preacher." Huh? We got to be available. You know, somebody's eternity might be hinges upon me or upon you and your witness. Amen? When I was a young Christian, I've told it before, I'm going to tell it again. When I was a young Christian, the place I worked, there was an older fellow. He was in his 60s. He come out of the lab there a lot. And cussed a lot. Took God's name in vain a lot. You know what? I didn't like it. And I kind of shied away. I tried to get away. I'd go to another room or something when he'd come in. And I was wrong. Got a call one day to the other guy in the room with me there, the owner of the lab. This old fellow's wife was hysterical. And she said, "Get up here quick. Grady's failed." And so we jumped in the car. It was probably 7-8 miles over there. Took off over there. And when we got there, that man was laying at the bottom of the doorsteps in the backyard. And the guy that drove us over there, he got his wife and went in the house. And the ambulance hadn't got there yet. And I looked down at that man, and his color was gone. And God said to me, "Pick up his hand, feel for a pulse." I picked it up, and no pulse there. Life was gone. And God let me know that I missed an opportunity. I'll have to live with that. I'll have to stand before God and give an account for that one day. I could have said something to him. I could have done different. I was a young Christian. I was stupid, I guess. But God wasn't pleased with me. And I ain't pleased with me. And no matter how crude people are, they've got a soul. And I was just as wicked as anybody ever was when I was lost. But I had to experience that to learn a lesson. I'm supposed to be different. Sure, I don't run with the crowd, with the wicked crowds of this world. But I'm supposed to be a light to them. I'm supposed to love them. And I'm supposed to want to see them saved. And so, they had a great commission to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, to the lost. And we have that same commission today. They had great courage. If you notice, and as this story goes on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, they were all filled and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they began to speak about the wonderful works of God. And the Bible says that, I'm talking about great courage now. You know, anytime, I've heard Brother Ken preach this before, anytime there's an operation of God, there'll be opposition of hell. And that's true. As quick as these people stood up filled with the Holy Ghost and began to talk about the wonderful works of God, somebody stood up and said, mocking them, said, they are full of wine, they drunk. And then Peter stood up. Courageous. I'm talking about we need courage in the day that we live. We're living in a dark day and a dark time. You know, I was going to preach on fools tonight, but God led me in this direction right here. You know, the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And this world is getting so dark and so full of fools, but we got to press on. Amen. And we need courage. Peter had courage that day. When he preaches his first sermon right here, he tells these people that they've crucified the Lord of glory. And he had to be a brave man. He had to be courageous, didn't he? I mean, he was preaching to people that just crucified Christ. He was preaching to people that stood at the before Pilate and said, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, a murderer. But Peter with boldness stood up and he preached Jesus to them. And 3,000 souls got saved at the end of this message. It took some courage to stand up before that big crowd of people that hated Christ, that wanted him crucified, didn't it? We need courage. We need some backbone. We need some guts. We need a Holy Ghost filling in our lives. And we need a burden for lost souls. Peter stood up with a burden. And he goes on here. Can I say that if we're going to be a witness for Christ, expect the devil to come at you. Expect him to do his work. This ain't no cakewalk. This is a warfare. A warfare. And we're on the battlefield. We're battling for the souls of all these little children that mamas and daddies brought in here tonight. For all the lost people that we come in contact with, it's up to us to be alive. And we're going to need some courage. We're going to need some backbone. We're going to be criticized. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to be mocked. We're living in the days of scoffers. Amen. But the Bible's still true. Jesus still alive, Jesus still saves, the hell's still real, and heaven is still real. We better get up and about our Father's business. They had to have courage, they had to have backbone, optimism. We can be an optimist or we can be a pessimist. Optimist. God can. God will. If we will. Great courage. And as the story goes on, I told you about the lame man at the gate. And Peter, when all the people ran together to see this lame man, all the people rushed in to see this lame man walking and leaping and praising God. And Peter saw an opportunity. I'm going to preach. He said, I'm going to preach. And he preached the practically the same message he preached when the 3,000 got saved. He told them they crucified the Lord of glory and God raised him from the dead. And it's through him that this lame man is walking and leaping and praising God. And it says there in the chapter number 4 right there, when the Sadducees came upon them, grieved that they taught and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead, laid hands on them, put them on hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, what if Peter had just kept silent? What if he hadn't stood up with boldness and courage and preached to all them that cried, "Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! Away with this man!" But he preached to them. Conviction through the Holy Ghost came upon 5,000 at one time. And they believed and they received Christ. And it made the devil mad. Made him mad. Listen, church. You know, we get in a rut of just going to church. And we forget about what our duty is, what God requires out of us, and the warfare and the positions that we have in God's army. And the devil is having a heyday in most churches today, in most people's lives today. He's doing his job. And he's got demon-filled people that the devil will use to come after you and to try to tear you down and try to knock you out of this thing. But they had a great cause. They had a great cause. God, they had God. They had the Holy Ghost. And they didn't just look out and see people. They looked out and seen lost people. You ever been to a ball game or something? I ain't been to a ball game and I couldn't tell you when, but I used to go some. And I don't know if I ever sat down at a ball game and didn't look out at the crowds and wonder. I wonder how many people here are saved and how many is lost. I wonder how many is going to hell if they don't get saved. I've done that a lot of times. And, people don't realize that they're just a heartbeat out of eternity. And we don't realize what a great opportunity and what a great cause that we have. These men serve their generation and generations to come. And boy, we better leave our mark in this old world when we leave. What do people see in us? What do people say about us? What will they say about us when we're gone? They'll be talking about you. Good brother, this week, Sunday morning, I believe it was, went out to meet God, Brother Tommy Wright. Good man of God. And unexpectedly, suddenly, went out to meet God. And I noticed on Facebook, a lot of people had good things to say about him. And I couldn't think of a bad thing to say about him myself. He's a good man. They had a great cause. They had great convictions. Look at this right here, and I'm going to be closing here in a minute. They had great convictions. In chapter number 4, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They had convictions, and they wasn't going to compromise. They wasn't going to back down. They said, we're going to hearken to God. We ain't going to listen to you no matter what you do to us. And we're going to go for God. They had great conviction. They had great confirmation. Look a little further down right here. Look at the confirmation that God gave them. Verse number 23 said, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Notice this now. In verse 26 says, the kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand. and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. This confirmation I'm talking about, they prayed. They prayed. They wanted to do something for the Lord. With boldness, they wanted to go and preach the gospel, to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. And they needed the Lord's help. They needed the Lord's blessings. And, you know, a lot of times we miss God's blessings because we don't pray. Amen. We need the Lord. And it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Great confirmation. You commit yourself to God, God will prove Himself. Amen. God will prove Himself to you. You commit, you pray, and you ask for God's help, and He'll prove Himself. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They had a great care for souls. One of these days, we'll meet these men. If we're a child of God, all the saints of old, we'll be gathered with them in heaven. That's what this book says. That's what God's promised to His children. Thank you for being here.